Ever notice how the things we avoid most often yield the greatest rewards? Cold calling sits at the pinnacle of sales avoidance, yet paradoxically, it's precisely this universal dread that makes it so effective. While most sales professionals hide behind mass emails, disappearing into crowded inboxes, a select few brave the discomfort of picking up the phone and reap disproportionate rewards. The mathematics are compelling. Top performers connect with 106 prospects and secure 18 meetings from 800 dials, while average reps connect with just 43 prospects and book only 2 meetings from the same number of calls. What's the difference? Not talent or luck, but simply the willingness to embrace what others avoid. Think about your own inbox. How many sales emails did you delete today without reading? The average professional receives 121 emails daily, with sales messages having an open rate of just 18%. Meanwhile, 57% of C-level buyers prefer phone contact. Even more striking, voicemails nearly double email reply rates even without live connections. The numbers don't lie. Reps making 60-plus calls daily achieve 160% of quota on average, compared to just 54% for those making fewer than 25 calls. Cold calling works precisely because it's difficult, and that difficulty creates your competitive edge. Imagine answering an unknown dinnertime call. Within seconds, you recognize it's a sales pitch from that chipper, "How's your day going?" or awkward, "Did I catch you at a bad time?" These traditional openers fail because they trigger our internal telemarketer alarm. The key isn't a clever script, but creating a sit-up moment, something unexpected that makes prospects pause and engage. Two approaches work best. The "heard the name tossed around" opener, 11.24% success rate, which implies familiarity through connections, and the tailored permission opener, 11.18% success rate, which acknowledges the cold call while demonstrating research. Success comes from both words and tone, relaxed and confident rather than stiff. Try raising your arms while speaking to create energy, conveying that you've researched them specifically. When prospects resist, remember they're objecting to the interruption, not your product. Break through by asking why they wouldn't let you proceed. This keeps them engaged while revealing their actual situation. People quickly tune out vague buzzwords. Traditional value propositions fail because we're motivated more by pain than benefits. We don't buy solutions, we buy escape from problems. Instead of leading with your offering, describe a problem so vividly that prospects feel you've been reading their diary. When you nail this triggering problem description, you need only one sentence about your solution before prospects lean in with interest. The most effective problem descriptions come directly from customer complaints using their exact language rather than sales jargon. Describe the persona, their specific annoyances, the setting, and the emotions involved. Then offer your solution with this formula: "We do X so that the problem goes away, where X is your biggest differentiator." When closing, avoid heavy questions like, "Are you free Wednesday at 10?" which force multiple decisions. Simply ask, "Are you interested?" Only after confirming interest should you attempt to book a meeting. Remember in Karate Kid when Mr. Miyagi redirects Daniel's punches, using the attacker's momentum against them? Top performers handle sales objections the same way. Most objections aren't genuine. They're reflexive reactions to being interrupted. The breakthrough approach is counterintuitive. Agree with objections instead of fighting them. This pattern-breaking response transforms defensive reactions into conversations by removing pressure. When you hear "not interested," try, "Ah, my bad. You probably would have reached out if you needed help." For "no budget," say, "I hear you. It's hard enough to keep what's already in the budget." After agreeing, ask, "Would you mind sharing why so I can take you off my list if we're not a fit?" This gets prospects talking because they feel understood, increases talk time, which correlates with booking meetings, and reveals their actual situation. Don't try to overcome objections during cold calls. Focus on getting prospects to take a look at your solution. Ever wonder why some people breeze past gatekeepers while others get stonewalled? Gatekeepers have two jobs, closing the gate on strangers and opening it for important people. The key is making them feel you belong in the second category. The triple bypass approach delivers information strategically. 1. The slide by. Ask using only your first name. Hey, could you get me over to Aubrey? It's Nick. 2. The context. If questioned, provide business context without revealing you're selling. 3. The social proof. If still challenged, establish credibility by mentioning you work with their peers. Despite arguments against voicemails, they remain valuable. Their true purpose isn't callbacks, but generating email replies. Data shows voicemails double email reply rates from 2.73% to 5.87%. Keep them under 30 seconds, lead with context, direct attention to your email rather than requesting callbacks, and limit yourself to 2 messages per prospect. Start your day with cold calling, before email, meetings, or anything else. Conquering this challenging task first creates a virtuous cycle, making everything else easier. Beginning with administrative work creates the opposite effect, making cold calling increasingly difficult as the day progresses. Structure your calendar around front-loading, hardest revenue-generating activities first, and time-blocking, dedicated focus periods. Divide your day into 3 zones: green hours, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. for prospecting; yellow hours, 12 to 3 p.m. for customer meetings; and red hours, 3 to 6 p.m. for administrative tasks. Limit email checking to 3 windows daily: 8:30 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. This prevents getting consumed by current deals while neglecting prospecting and creates peace of mind during focused work. Most reps waste dial blocks through late starts, excessive research, email distractions, and giving up after rejection. If you're not hitting 40 calls hourly, you're likely procrastinating. Prepare dial tasks the night before with research ready, commit to full 60-minute blocks, set clear goals, eliminate distractions, and maintain momentum between calls. Cold calling success isn't about finding a magical rejection-free script. It's about embracing discomfort as your ally. The breakthrough comes through a simple framework. Publicly share your weekly dial commitment with someone and agree to a meaningful consequence if you miss it. Make the consequence significant enough to drive action without creating paralyzing anxiety. Options include wearing embarrassing clothing to work, performing karaoke at meetings, or donating to causes you oppose. The public nature creates both accountability and camaraderie. This approach works because it leverages fundamental psychology. We're more driven by avoiding pain than seeking pleasure. Research shows loss aversion is approximately twice as powerful as potential gain. Most salespeople need about 90 days of consequence-driven behavior before developing intrinsic motivation. The most successful salespeople aren't those who feel no fear. They're the ones who act despite it. By embracing cold calling's difficulty rather than avoiding it, you transform what most see as a liability into your greatest asset. Your willingness to consistently do what others won't leads to exceptional results.